the chosen producer, not Gay Jarrett. It was Fen Computer. He was the chosen one. He was the one who told me about Mug Club. You're just a gay.
Why are you talking about Fen Computer?
I did what Fen Computer couldn't, and I broke you, and I beat you. It was Fen Computer who told me about you. He's the prophet. He's a smart one. He knows what I needed, and he found me, and he gave me Mug Club. And you know what I did? Listen. Do you know what I did? I paid him your salary. $10,000, cash in hand. He's on a work visa now. He runs a very profitable job doing overlays and research. Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense. You're just the afterbirth.
No.
Not Gay Jarrett, who slithered out on your mother's filth.
No.
They should have put you in a tumbler on the mantelpiece. You swear you're not gay, but where were you? Not Gay Jarrett at the SMU after party. Who was having fun with poor Not Gay Jarrett in the men's restrooms while you were supposed to be selling Mug Club? They took pictures, incriminating pictures. The Not Gay shtick is done. You lose.
If you just understand, I'm not really gay.
Gay is what you are. Gay! You boy. So sorry. So gay. If you have a mug, and I have a mug club, we both have mug clubs, okay? And I have a straw. I have a straw, and there it is. And my straw reaches all the way over to your mug club. And I drink your mug club. I drink your mug club! I slip it up!
Even talking about.
I'm finished.
Because robots do this a lot, but the robot keeps going back to the nipple. I don't know. He's an aerially obsessed robot. It's a new dance. It's sweeping the clubs across the nation. Huge show today. We have the Hodge twins, two big muscly gentlemen, and then, of course, we have a smaller gentleman. I don't know if I would say that, but Ben Shapiro will be in the show. So Hodge twins and Ben Shapiro, big show. The return of Bull Man is here this evening for some articles from CNN. And what else do we have going on? We have a ton of stuff going on. Also, Daniel Day-Lewis is a horribly overrated actor. Change my mind. That's
so
how we're going to start
bad. This
show. Because I have a straw. And producing with me in video studio, as always, is Jared, who is not gay. Follow him on Twitter at NotGayJared. Meet us, credit with your comments, your thoughts, your photoshops. I fulfill my legal obligations, drawing conclusions. I heard some of the great minds that you guys said you wanted last week in the comments section. So maybe Daniel Day-Lewis needs to be brought on.
Maybe we need to get him on.
He retired from acting. Yeah. So sad. Is it me? Oh, also, sorry, G. Morgan Jr., sommelier. What's the wine of the day, sir?
The wine of the day is Silver Ghost Cabernet.
Silver Ghost. There you go. Looking for your silver fox by using some Silver Ghost. And slipping a roofie. How are you? Sven Computer with the overlays. You good? Ready?
I'm good, beep beep. I'm ready, and I'm wearing my Ranger panties, and you can get them on Twitter. That's my goal.
He's getting faster. He's almost speaking with Ben Shapiro's speed.
Yeah, he tried to throw you off there.
The Daniel Day-Lewis, it's one of those where I feel as though I'm taking crazy pills.
I didn't believe you for a long time.
Is it just me?
And I watched it back, I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You watch There Will Be Blood.
Oh.
There Will Be Blood, and then same thing, and then you go watch Gangs of New York.
I feel like when you watch him, you're like, I can see him reading the script in his mind.
Yeah. And like method acting, like at the craft table, where it's like, hey, Daniel, we're going to the Jimmy John's. Do you want ham or do you want turkey?
An honorable man, I know I ate a sandwich.
Can you shut up? You're just, it's annoying. It's this whole facade. All right. But we have to get to other more important stories. Eight Argentinian police officers were formally dismissed, fired, after claiming that a half ton of marijuana, which had gone missing, was eaten by mice. That was their excuse. In other news, 8 Honduran police officers were promoted to captain after capturing notorious pot thief Mouse. Oh, foiled again, Chucky Weed. There's no way around. They know they have their police force in the Honduras. Horrible place, the Honduras.
That's a lack of creativity on their plate.
A lot of trannies.
We're going to get to it.
See it on a slow news week. It's Trump Russia and apparently Honduran transgenders.
Yes.
A big
epidemic.
Civil rights frontier of 2018.
A pandemic,
all
one could say.
Yeah.
Because we're globalists when it comes to epidemics. With our epidemic.
Sexual demic.
With our disaster nomenclature, pandemic is larger. A Mill Creek school district, I don't know where that is, but it comes from a local news because we scour the web for that every now and then. And then I find things written about me that make me depressed for a day. A Mill Creek school district is arming its teachers with tiny baseball bats. Their solution.
Oh, good.
Remember the rocks?
Oh, my gosh.
According to the school district, the 16-inch bats, let's bring that up there, Sven, were distributed to each teacher following an in-service training day on how to respond to school shootings. We passed them out. With the goal being we wanted every room to have one of these, said Hall, a representative. Unfortunately, we're in a day and age where one might need to use them to protect ourselves and our kids. See, he said it, but there wasn't that. There wasn't the laugh.
There's no laughter.
He said it in the room and people went,
serious.
Nice. So, yeah, teachers are now being coached in the wake of school shootings to use the bats with a two-handed gable grip, ensuring prompt insertion before kissing their ass goodbye. Think about this. Even if Mrs. Baker bats 400, almost everyone dies. Yeah. No, wait, hold on a second. Everyone dies. Yeah, with a mini baseball bat?
What, this guy go to opening day, get one of the mini bats, and go, wait a minute, I have an idea.
Is this or the foam finger?
Yeah.
That was obvious.
I feel like somebody watched an old Muppet movie with the truancy officer with a little baton.
Yeah.
That's what's going to stop the next Parkland.
Yes.
You know what else small baseball
effective.
Bats are bad for? Hitting baseballs.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with a bullet?
they're effective, but they are ineffective, but they are cute.
Yes.
They're adorable. Oh,
they are adorable.
So, you know.
Said the Honduran tranny. So, a Florida woman was, that'll be relevant in a second, you'll see why. We've just been
full
seething
circle.
Over
it'll come around.
A Florida woman was arrested this week for a purse full of cocaine, and she subsequently blamed the wind. Authorities say they questioned Posey, the lady in question, about the drugs, and according to the report, she responded with, "It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse." It was one of those things where I really didn't want this story to have the picture that you just saw when I clicked open, but
racist.
I kind of expected it.
It's all coming.
Just like if it was methamphetamine, you know exactly what you would picture.
It's foreshadowing.
It goes both
all the
ways.
Way. Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
It does.
No.
Just like if it said smug Jew. Ben Shapiro in your head.
Just pops in. Can't help it.
Pops in. And then you open the window. You go, I was right. Though, by the way, it was later taken as a sort of soft admission of guilt when she was overheard in her holding cell singing that she could, quote, paint with all the colors of the crack cocaine. And Disney now has a copyright issue with this very live stream.
You're screwed.
You got a strike.
And we're down.
We've just been Owen Benjamin. It also didn't help when the officer asked her, and she asked about holding, and she said, "Hey, officer, you got any more of that wind?"
We have a new street name for coke now. Thanks a lot.
Any more of that wind? The Windy City makes a lot more sense, though.
Yes, it does.
It kind of like comes together for you.
And there were 9 ODs during Katrina. Something else. The article goes on to say, actually, I remember it wasn't immediately known if she has a lawyer. I'm pretty sure it was immediately known. That would have to be the worst lawyer. Who's your lawyer? Tommy Chong? Just tell him it was like the wind, man.
You totally get off.
Oh, okay.
No, that's how you go. That's your cousin.
It's believable.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of things that really depress me, George Soros is now preparing to trade cryptocurrencies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, comes with a refreshing change of pace from his most recent endeavor, of course, of being an actual crypt keeper. So now he's a crypt trader. That is him. That's a really good Photoshop blend.
Holy crap.
You're welcome.
I'm pretty proud of us.
Pretty good. Yeah.
For those confused about the context of the joke, George Soros is a giant, crusty piece of clear?
Clear.
Yep, got it.
Clear as crystal?
That makes a lot more sense now.
Crystal. Yeah.
The context changes everything.
Good. Yeah. New Chicago Public School is being built on the site of an estimated, this one comes from Sven Computer, it'll make sense in a bit, of an estimated 38,000 unmarked graves.
Huh, that's a lot.
From the Tribune. The $70 million, why could there ever be a problem? Like, sometimes you're like the outrage brigade, I'm like, oh, okay, kind of get this.
That's a lot.
I understand. Is there going to be a basement? That's going to be a problem. $70 million school is to be built on the grounds of a former Cook County poorhouse where an estimated 38,000 people were buried in unmarked graves. And Sven Computer, you didn't see a problem with this.
No, you know where I come from. Everything is not Mark Grafe.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank God we didn't plug your Twitter, or you might be facing the ban hammer. A new species of turtle has just been added to the endangered species list. This was breaking news. The turtle, which can be identified by its green hair, as well as its ability to breathe through its genitals, is known as the Mary River turtle. Hmm. Or by its binomial nomenclature, Postopus tranniturtulus is what it's called. And it's now been placed on the 30th, number 30, on the evolutionarily distinct, I want to get this right because I'll get fact checked, evolutionary distinct and endangered list for reptiles. With the rest of the top 30 being rounded out by Crocodilius feministus, the Black Lives Matter mamba, and this gecko in a pussy hat. He doesn't realize he can't do that now. Because like that's exclusive of our next story. Did you see who was it? An artist who just had the pussy pants?
Oh god,
pussy pants.
Yeah, but yes. Remember it was a problem. We were gonna go to the women's rally, the women's rally redux.
Yeah,
the next
we wanted
year.
To wear the hats because now
it was offensive.
They're on sale.
That gecko was wildly insensitive.
Wildly insensitive. It's like he doesn't read the newspapers.
It's pretty tough to sew them that small.
But this person put it on her
Redux.
Pants, thinking like I was going to get feminists to support, and she didn't realize like no, they're past that. That's
like Z Cavaricci's have made a comeback for pussy pants.
The what?
You remember Z Cavaricci's, the really baggy MC Hammer pants?
Oh, is that what they were called?
Yeah.
No, we just knew them as MC Hammer pants.
Well, there was
pants.
One of them.
Yeah.
Hammer pants.
They were after, I guess.
You still have a box full of them right next to your Zima, don't you? You
I'm
and
waiting
John
for them
Casey.
To come back.
Actually, they brought back Zima, so I can't use that joke anymore, unfortunately.
I know, it's back and it's as popular as ever.
Yeah, let's go with that wording. Okay, so when there's a slow news week, and we'll talk about it, Ben Shapiro will be up right after this, and then the Hodge Twins. There's a slow news week. As it's been this last week, really. Yeah. I mean, Paul Ryan, Russia, okay. If it isn't Trump in Russia, every now and then an article comes along that is so absurd, that is so emblematic of today's social justice progressive left. It's hard to put into words. And if we were to do that, if we were to write about this, a lot of people would accuse us of strawmanning. They would say, listen, that's an extreme example. But CNN had a recent article, I believe front page, about Honduran transgenders trying to cross in the United States illegally that is so... Honestly, I can't. You know what? I can't even do it. This is a after this with Ben Shapiro right now. This is a job for Bullshit Man. It's time for the adventures of Bullshit Man and his trusty sidekick, Bullshit Boy, Bullshit Wonder, false statistics, phony stories, and outright lies. No bullshit is too big for Bullshit Man and his trusty sidekick, Bullshit Boy.
Yes, sir, Commissioner Bullshit. I see. Substantiated entirely with anecdotal claims. Yes, sir, Commissioner Bullshit. I understand. Right away, sir.
Well?
CNN just posted an article about tranny Hondurans illegally crossing the border.
Those trusted name and news?
To the bullshit,
Bullshit! Oh, no!
Bullshit!
Okay, Bullshit Boy. Be careful. With the most trusted name in news, Bullshit can be lurking around any corner. It starts with saying she tried to cross the border for the first time in 2016. He said, she tried again the following year. She nearly drowned, she says he, and spent 2 days in a coma after a brief hospital stay. He was detained and deported back to his native country of Honduras.
Wait, did that tranny pay for her medical care?
Good Bullshit body, Bullshit Boy. Especially considering that illegal immigrants cost American taxpayers over $29 billion a year. With over $17 billion in federal funding and another 12 in states. That's bullshit!
Oh no, Bullshit Man! It looks like it gets worse!
Shit, you're right. After he returned, he decided to start living openly as a transgender woman. Didn't take long for it to realize, blah, 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 blah. To leave the Honduras, one of the most dangerous countries in the world for transgender people. Even though it would mean leaving her beloved family. Bullshit Boy! This is what we call a lie by omission. Like the fact that Honduras is arguably the most dangerous country in the world, not just for transgender people, but for all people, with a murder rate second only to El Salvador. That's some bullshit!
No!
When they are in U.S. land, we will be able to help them, but we also cannot predict what will happen, said Flor Bermudez, legal director for the Transgender Law Center. This group is providing legal assistance to migrants and recruiting lawyers and volunteers to work on their behalf.
Oh no, Bullshit Man! Not the Transgender Law Center!
That's right, Bullshit Boy. This is the same law center that ensures that teenagers can change in the bathrooms of the opposite sex and actually force prisons to give male inmates scarves and necklaces. That's what we call incarceration fashion-violating bullshit! Ow! It continues. Contreras has always known she-he was assigned the wrong gender at birth. Assigned? Wait, she's faulting the doctor for assigning him the wrong gender at birth, even though he has a Y chromosome and a penis? That bullshit, boy, is what we call some blame displacement bullshit! Ow! Good bullshit kick.
Thank you.
After she came out, she said she tried wearing makeup in women's clothes. Contreras has a job with the idea of leaving the family, but she knew she had to do it for her own sake.
Lord.
And even then, there are no guarantees. Suddenly, the man grabbed one of the trans women.
Holy cow.
And Wood shot up. She smiled, swiveled her hips, and joined for the rest of the dance. Oh my God. She said, I just ask God that everything ends up well. Is there anything that sticks out to you about this article bullshit, boy?
Yeah, I just hope she doesn't have to ask God in person. What with that whole 41% transgender suicide rate and all
that. You get distasteful with me, bullshit boy! That kind of stuff might fly with shenanigans, man, but not here. I mean, the fact that this is from CNN, the most trusted name in news, more like most bullshit name in news, is the same network that chastised the American public for being distrusting of Syrian Islamic refugees.
So?
So? Well, at the same time, inconveniently or conveniently, depending how you look at it, ignoring the fact that less than 1% of refugees coming from the Middle East were Christians. Who were the ones persecuted in the first place?
Well, you're right! Watch out! There's some serious bullshit!
Hey!
Now!
Good kick, but you need to stretch out your hamstrings. Now, bullshit point, this article wants us to feel bad for border-hopping trannies who were teased for wearing acrylic nails. And, I don't know, that may be really hard compared to, say, being burned alive for your religion in a cage? That's bullshit!
Oh no, bullshit man! It looks like we have company!
Good eye, bullshit boy. I knew it was coming with this article. It's CNN's army of entirely anecdotal minions.
Bow! Bow! Bow!
Good work, bullshit boy. Bullshit boy!
Oh no, bullshit man! It's CNN's expert medical panelist!
I've got you now, bullshit man. You think you can take on CNN? After I force feed bullshit boy these hormone blockers, everyone will kneel before most trusted name in news. And he will never grow pubes again!
Oh no! Oh gee, thanks! That was a close one!
It sure was.
You took him out pretty quickly.
I know. These guns are a markedly effective tool of self-defense. It's amazing it's not covered more.
I know! Up to 3 million defenses per year, according to the CDC!
Yeah, I should probably make room for one of these in my tool belt, but
yeah.
I don't know what I can stand to lose. I got my circle pellet and my fingernail clipper.
I think we can officially declare this bullshit solved!
To the bullshit team! Yes, sir, Commissioner Bullshit. You can consider that article taken care of. Wait, what's your cape?
I don't know.
My pleasure, sir. Wait, what? I see, sir. Yes, right away, sir.
Well, what is it?
This video has already been removed due to bullshit hate speech YouTube policy violation.
Oh, no!
I told you not to use the word tranny on YouTube!
Oh, and to bullshit on me?
No. I'm calling my bullshit half-Asian lawyer.
Bullshit!
And I don't want nobody. Want nobody. And I don't want nobody. You got that right. And I don't want nobody.
I lost.
Want nobody. And I don't want nobody.
I did that extra long just because before this interview, right during the break, this man told me I had a Jewfro, which is both anti-Semitic and self-loathing. You'll understand when I mention who this person is. You can follow him at Ben Shapiro. Find his show, Ben Shapiro Show, all over the iTunes. The iTunes, I believe, is a music playing robot, SoundCloud, Daily Wire. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I should also mention that your bank account automatically grew larger because of the Jewfro.
Yes.
And your IQ rose by 15 points on average. So
yes.
Congratulations
and
to you.
And I also, for some reason, was privy to, prone to about like 15 hereditary diseases exclusive to me.
That is absolutely, that's fair.
You know, it's funny. We talked about that last time. I had no idea. The same thing with, it's like there are several lineages of people genetically. Yeah. This is one thing you're not supposed to talk about. We'll talk about the Hodge twins afterwards. But Jews, black people, and then French Canadians, specifically Acadian bloodlines, have a proclivity to, like, exclusive to us. There were like 9 So I just, you know, I'm just the white trash version of the Jew as far as the genetic profile. It's same thing, I guess, because, you know, pure laine is actually a thing in French Canada. They call it, that's pure wool. So they really do not go outside of the French Canadian bloodline. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad that we hit all major issues here.
Yes,
I think
we did.
Can move on.
Hey, Vanity Fair, that's some fun. He's got a Vanity Fair reporter there who I know they're doing a profile on Ben because it's a big deal. You having fun?
Well, probably not actually, but you know, this is who I hang out with in my cocktail hours.
Yes, in your cocktail hours.
Because I'm a cuck, so this is what I do. Like in my spare time, I just hang out at all the fancy cocktail parties with all of the New York journalists from left-wing institutions. That's my thing.
You should do an after show and call it Ben's Cocktail Hour. And
that'd be amazing.
Yes, and all you should do is complain about all the things that you hate about. So you can sectionalize, you can section off everything you hate about Trump, and then just do the show, the normal show, where you just talk about how much you love him, and you'll get syndicated to every major network, and then Sean Hannity will take your calls. Hey, speaking of which, let's talk about the Cohn thing. There's really not much in the news this week. That's why we just talked about the CNN transgender Honduras pandemic. I don't know if you know this. There's apparently an epidemic of Honduran transgenders trying to cross the border illegally who are being denied. CNN, front page.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah,
okay.
So it seems like when it gets slow, it's either Trump, Russia, or then the absurd articles come out. What is real? What do people need to know from this week? I know if they're not on for your mailing list, they should be, but it's tough.
There are really only a couple of, here's the truth. It's been a crazy news week on a couple of fronts, right? There was the serious stuff, and then there was the Michael Cohn raid, and then there was Paul Ryan suggesting that he doesn't want to remain speaker and stepping down after November. So the Cohn thing is the one that's, I think, going to have the most legs in terms of politics, just because when the FBI actually sends people to search the president's personal lawyer's office, and that president has had a pretty nasty habit of paying people off he's had sex with, then the number of documents that they come up with, it's probably not going to be all that great. I mean, if I were Trump, I'd be unhappy about that. And as someone who has served as your lawyer, Stephen Crowder, let me just say that you and I have only interacted in a fully legal fashion. You've never asked me to pay anybody off or avoid campaign finance laws in order to do so. So our attorney-client privilege is fully intact.
When he actually extorted me personally for what I did to him.
But
I didn't because I knew he was just
totally
as ashamed
different.
About it.
Right, that's totally different. That's totally different. We don't talk about that publicly.
Yes, this is true.
Come on.
Mutual
we signed a confidentiality agreement. This is right. So we already have an NDA. Stephen, watch yourself. So,
That means a lot today, as we see with Stormy.
Yeah, exactly.
And NDA, what is that? What does that even mean anymore? As when I sign those, or I have schools or those places like sign these, or I'm like, it doesn't mean anything anymore because all it takes is one tweet to blow it out, and it's worth more than.
Well, so there's some truth to that. But our attorney-client privilege is intact because we didn't do anything criminal. Obviously, in this particular case, there is something called the criminal fraud exception to the attorney-client privilege. And that means that if they think that Michael Cohn actually committed a crime with Donald Trump, in this case, presumably violating campaign finance law by funneling cash from Trump to Stormy Daniels through improper campaign channels, then they can search his office and look for all sorts of documents and all the rest of this. I'm not sure that it puts Trump in any serious legal danger. I think that it probably puts Michael Cohn in some pretty severe legal danger. And more importantly, if they're looking at every document that was ever in Cohen's files about the things that Cohen has done for Trump, remember, Cohen calls himself Tom Hagen to Trump's Corleone. So that's not good.
Right.
And we know one thing about the FBI, which is that they've not been unleaky. Right. I think it's fair to say that they've been leaking a fair bit of information. So if it turns out that in the documents, there's something about, you know, Trump paying for an abortion or something, how long do you think it'll take for that to hit the press, even though it would be illegal for the FBI to leak it, and it wouldn't actually be illegal
thing,
for Trump to pay somebody to shut up about it,
I do have to stop here, because we don't want to play the potential game. And this is one thing that does bother me about the media. All of this could happen, or it could just be a dumbass wanting to draw a Godfather analogy, because people who don't know anything about film, that's the first thing to do. It's like, oh, but no, shut up. You don't know anything about the movie. Chinatown was a better film, in my opinion. Anyways, then, of course, the Quaaludes and the rape, Roman Polanski. So looking back, it's tarnished, kind of like our act at the Belmar Hotel. But the point remains, this is all potential. The media's been covering it as though this has already been discovered.
Right. This is going to take Trump down. It's all over. Yeah. None of that's true. We'll have to find out what exactly comes out from it. But it's certainly not going to make the president very happy. So that was big story number one of the week. And then obviously big story number two is Paul Ryan stepping down as speaker.
You consider that a big story? What to you is a small story?
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably Honduran transgender people trying to cross the border.
It's a big deal. They're getting rejected. They're facing persecution. People make fun of their acrylic nails.
1,500 of them.
I think the speaker probably stepping down might be slightly larger. But what's funny about this is that Ryan is just he's like Pig. He's sort of like Pigpen from Peanuts cartoons. He's just walking around, and there's a big cloud that just follows him everywhere.
No one likes him.
And no matter how hard he tries to, right, exactly. No matter how hard he tries to escape it, no matter how nice he is, it's just like he's Kenny from South Park. He's just constantly getting hit by a car, and it doesn't matter what he does, right? He tries to be nice to Trump, and all the Trumpkins are like, they threw out Paul Ryan because he wasn't nice enough to Trump. And then he's critical of Trump, and the entire media goes, you know what? He deserved that because he wasn't critical enough of Trump. It's like, what do you want the guy to do?
Well,
okay, like, I understand Paul Ryan was a bad fit for Speaker of the House because to be a good speaker, you either have to be manipulative by nature, right? Like, you have to be like a Tip O'Neill type, or you have to be some grand visionary with a program for the party that's backed by the base of the party, like Newt Gingrich circa 1994. And Paul Ryan really wasn't either of those things. But he's a relatively, I think he's a sincere guy who's kind of wonkish. He doesn't like manipulating. I think he was too weak in standing up to McConnell. I think he took a lot of hits for McConnell, frankly. You know, the people are saying, well, you know, he's the one who pushed the $1.3 trillion omnibus package. No, that was McConnell, okay, because Ryan passed an actual package that was, they passed appropriations bills in the houses. Those died in the Senate. So the only thing Ryan could have done to McConnell would have been to say, listen, I'm not going to pass anything. Right, you want to pass your omnibus? Well, I'm not going to pass it.
Package.
Hold on 1 second. You were going to say something, not kid, Jared.
Oh, I just think it shocked me that Trump actually tweeted very nice things about Paul Ryan after he left.
Well,
I tell you, anybody who deserves to be kicked on the way out, it's
well, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I had heard of this, but I'd never actually seen it. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Ryan's fan, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, exactly. You know, honest to God, it is not that I am a Paul Ryan. I've been very critical of Paul Ryan for doing all these deals, but I think that if you are going to attribute the failure of a particular legislative
Mitch
agenda
McConnell.
To one of these three people, you know, McConnell, Trump, or Ryan, Ryan is third on that list. He's really third on that list. I don't think that he's second on that list. I don't think he's first on that list. Because remember, for every bad bill that is passed by McConnell and signed by Trump, there was a good bill passed by Ryan that was rejected by McConnell's Senate or was undercut by Trump.
Well, so hold on a second. He has compromised him. This is what I will say, and this is the question that I think everyone has to decide for themselves about Paul Ryan, right? You're either universally hated because you are someone, or for a period of time anyway. So everyone has seasons in their lives. But if you find yourself universally hated, it's for one of two reasons. Either because A, you are incredibly principled and you've taken the hits, or B, you are completely spineless and so you've warped yourself into a pretzel where just everyone hates you because you can only be spineless for so long. There isn't a whole lot of in between if everyone dislikes you. I think Paul Ryan has made some decisions where he's leaned in too much when he shouldn't. I just think he's a
winner. So, I mean, listen, I agree with that, but all I would say on that is that, let's put it this way. If Mitch McConnell were able to actually ram things through the Senate, we'd be talking about Paul Ryan as one of the great speakers ever. Because, again, he's passing a lot of good bills, and then what happens is they die in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell passes a bad bill. And then Mitch McConnell goes back to Ryan and says, listen, you can either pass my bad bill or we can pass nothing.
Yeah.
And then Paul Ryan, instead of saying to Mitch McConnell, fine, we'll pass nothing, that's where he's weak, right? That's where he should say to McConnell, go back to the drawing board, figure it out.
Right.
But that's not exactly what happened here. But I do find it, watching fans of Trump like jump on Paul Ryan's grave is kind of amusing to me, just because Paul Ryan is the reason that you have a tax cut. Paul Ryan is the reason that some of Trump's legislative agenda has been passed with regard to changes to the individual mandate.
Yeah.
Right? Mitch McConnell is the reason why Justice Gorsuch is on the bench. Right, you can rip on the people in the legislature for just so long. I really think one of the reasons that Ryan is dropping out, aside from the obvious, is another relatively obvious reason, which is that he's expecting the Republicans are going to get creamed in November, and he actually doesn't want to be around to be blamed for that. He knows that the typical
Republican
move.
Well, see, that would lend itself to what I'm saying is in the face of adversity, he's wilting a little bit. He knows it's an uphill battle here, and so it could seem like he's trying to take an out. But he is the reason for a lot of those things, as you said. I will absolutely grant him that. He's also the reason that Sven Computer wears short shorts and does P90X. So he's inspiring as a figure all around. Last thought, and then we do have to go.
Yeah, again, I don't think that he is the greatest speaker ever. I don't think he was fit for the job. I think that he wasn't particularly wonderful. But I think that to blame Paul Ryan as sort of the face of the old Republican Party, and now this is just more evidence that Trump has taken over the party. Like, didn't we find that out in 2016? He's the president. So I'm not sure what exactly has been added here. And do you really think anybody who takes over for Paul Ryan is going to be, you know, like thousands of leagues better than Paul Ryan? First of all, the person most likely to take over for Paul Ryan, unfortunately, in November is Nancy Pelosi,
given
the current polling data. So that's really scary.
She's, to me, the worst. She's the only person I've ever said actively believe is evil. She's far worse than Hillary Clinton. I've been saying that for years. I've never... Now, we do have to get going. The Ben Shapiro Show at DailyWire.com. Of course, iTunes, everywhere. He's syndicated now across terrestrial radio. Also, one thing, though, if this were a court, Ben Shapiro would have committed perjury. You know why? He said nothing illegal. What we did illegal in 46 states. He knows it. I know it. We have to go Hodge twins next. We'll be right back.
P-O-G.
It's the one live read of the week, lateralcredit.com/mugclub. We realize that, you know, we used to do so many more Mug Club commercials. And then, of course, we have Walther as a sponsor. And I think, you know, like a million subscribers ago, a lot of people haven't seen the old ones. But we appreciate you guys so much for supporting us. And not only us, but people who we work with, people like Owen Benjamin and people like the Hodge Twins and Ben Shapiro, who are, you know, big contributors to the show, along with the employees. So for people who are not members yet, you can still get all your free content on YouTube. We appreciate it. We're still doing a clip a day. And this free show every week, it's not going anywhere. But if you still want it to stay there, and you also want Louder with Crowder every day, we do the daily show at louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub. It's $99 annually, $69 for students, veterans, or active military. And there's a 30-day trial. So you can go in, try it for 30 days. And if you don't like it, you say the show sucks, along with, I guess, Mark Levin sucks, Kevin McGinnis sucks, Roman Millennial sucks, Phil Robertson. So you'd have to say they all suck. You don't have to pay a dime. What's with you? What's your problem? Louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub. We don't have a problem. We're having fun.
Oh, bother. Join my club. Hop on into more cheeses. I can only have it if you join my club. Oh, bother. Join my club.
All right, always glad to have our next guest. I can't say that. Sometimes it's more work for the censor button. You never know. I like them very much, but then I'm like, but I also don't like additional work.
Yeah, it's like buyer's remorse every time.
don't lead with that. Not that way. Good Lord. Do you have any idea how they're going to take, not them, but the media's going to take you to the cleaners, buyer's remorse?
True.
You're a horrible person. You don't own people. All right, listen, you can follow them on the Twitter as long as it's still allowed, at Hodge Twins. Of course, they're all over YouTube. They've been known for their fitness videos for a long time, but they also do video logs, vlogs, and now they're sort of, a lot of right-wingers are fans of them just because of the political incorrectness. Yeah. Kevin and Keith Hodge, how are you, Mr. Twins?
How's it going? Hey, thank you for having us. Yeah, a couple coons.
Right off the bat, I just talked myself into a corner. Now, did you both decide you were going to do the spy versus spy white black T-shirt, or is this just a yin yang thing, or just happens to be?
That was totally unplanned.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice it until you brought it up.
it just looks like you both just decided you're going to disagree about everything today. First off, where can people go to see you guys on tour? Where can they find your dates?
Oh man, we just got back from London, and you guys have a lot of fans out there, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, we can go out to London in June. We're going to go to Germany, UK, Amsterdam. Ireland.
Amsterdam, and tell them we're going to Amsterdam.
We're going to Amsterdam. We're going to Germany. Yeah. You know, a whole lot of places where there's not too many black people. You know.
Wait, no, Amsterdam.
We're going
does.
To Norway, Sweden.
Yeah. And we're still touring in the United States too. So
yeah.
So do you guys have a big European following?
Oh, yeah.
That's like
actually, you know, you can go on your Instagram and see where your following is. Our biggest city on Instagram is actually London.
Really?
Yeah. Same for Facebook. Yeah. London, Scotland.
Well, Ireland. Enjoy it while you can, because you probably won't be allowed back in about 6 months. So I'm not going to London. We said Tommy Robinson on this. I'd be stopped, frisked, and held indefinitely.
No doubt.
You see, we have a lot of fans. I mean, like, we've talked about this before. We'll get to the Oscar De La Hoya bit, which you emailed me you wanted to talk about in a second. I'm trying to figure out a segue to it. I don't want to label you conservative, but more open about your political views, sort of hating political correctness. I guess you just say sort of anti-politically correct culture is how it would classify you. How does that fit with Britain, with the UK, with London? Do they embrace it? How do people react? I can't go because they'll kill me.
Well, you know what? The crowds out in London, I mean, the transgender jokes don't really hit, right?
Yeah, there's one right there. There's one right there.
They hit hard in London.
Yeah, the black jokes hit hard too.
The black jokes and the gender jokes, they kill in London.
Yeah.
But United States, they could either palm or get hit. It's like 70-30 in the U.S., but I got this transgender joke. It kills in London.
Yeah.
And they get all the black jokes, too.
Yeah, they love the black jokes.
That surprises me. Very different culture. You ever hear, do you have a lot of black English people in your audience when you go to the U.K.?
No. He said the people... Black British. I mean, we have black Brit parents that come to our show, but predominantly wherever we go, our crowds are pretty much white.
Yeah, you're gonna get flat fat. Well, I ask because I don't know if you've ever seen. Have you ever seen black British people try to emulate black American urban culture? We had it in Canada too. It's like they show and then they have the accent. They're trying to do yeah. And you're like this is totally fake.
I can't really put it in the context, but a black man in black people in the U.S. compared to black people in Britain, from what I've seen, are like totally different.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tread lightly here. black people in the U.S. they have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I want
to say
it's all this damn racism.
Yeah. Well, slavery will do that, but.
Yeah, but in the U.K. it's like you don't really get that.
You don't get any of that.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I'm joking. I say slavery will do that. People don't realize there was slavery in the British Empire long after the United States. You know, so that's like, well, it wasn't really exactly in Britain. It's like, yeah, but what about the British Empire? It's murky territory. Same thing in Canada. A lot of people know we had slavery in Canada. I remember I had a guy one time call into my show and say, like, you know, I had a great, 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 great grandfather, you know, who had to flee the United States, and he fled and went to Canada. I said, you know what they would say in Canada? Great, more slaves. Do you have any idea as to what happened? So, you know, it seems like in Canada they've embraced the chip on their shoulder. But all right, listen.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. I know you sent me, because every now and then I'm like, hey, what are the hot shoes? I can talk about anything with them. Okay, what is the Oscar De La Hoya Shanna Mokler $2 million extortion plot? It's not
typing in something. What was it? Was it Richard Pryor gay?
Yeah, like I want to talk about Richard Pryor who was banging George Carlin, man. I was like, what? No, that's not. We're gonna go there anyway. So tell us about this Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh no, I can't remember the website, but it's a picture of De La Hoya with boxing gloves on and he's dressed up like a trainee. I was like, is that De La Hoya?
That's an old picture.
The term trainee is not too politically correct. They're transgender.
Well, we've blown past that barrier today on the show already, so this is gone.
Yeah, and we were reading the story and I was like, oh my God, these two women like try to extort him out of $2 million because obviously, this dude's a freak behind closed doors, right? He likes getting penetrated.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't know. This picture is old enough that it was back when it was just considered cross-dressing. You know, the whole transgender, you were either a transsexual or a cross-dresser. Transgender wasn't really part of the sort of societal nomenclature. So back then, it was like, hey, Oscar De La Hoya cross-dresses. Now, you don't know what the rules are. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm thinking they got something more than those cross-dressing pictures.
No, I was reading.
To be asking for $2 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you see me dressed up like a woman, I ain't giving you $2 million. I might give you $50,000, but that ain't worth $2 million. I'm thinking these two females, he's got something good on this dude, man.
Yeah, it was somebody.
I'm thinking they got some pictures of that girl.
Uh-huh.
She's got a strap on.
Okay, all right, we get where we're going. You know exactly where it's going. I don't know if there's that much territory to explore there, but that's kind of the Mike Pence rule. You just don't allow yourself to have those kinds of pictures taken, you know? I even was recently at a gig. Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm like, whose idea was the film? It's okay, we're going to do this? Yeah, we could do this, De La Hoya.
Hey, make sure you get a good picture of this.
Bring this light over here. I wanted to get my eyes. I'm like, why would you even film that? I mean, geez.
You know what it is? He's got a good heart, man. He trusts people too much.
Yeah.
He's got a good heart.
And it was beating on pure coke probably that evening. That's what happened. He had too much money and not enough sense. Well, you know, this is one thing I was just talking about with Not Gay Jared. I'll talk about actually after the break. I was going to talk about close the show on something with Not Gay Jared, but him and I both had a gig recently where it was your first time bombing, but I went up and bombed right after you. It was a corporate gig, great company, great owner. It was just not the right venue, and afterward though, I remember telling him, I said, listen, I don't want any pictures being taken without you being with me, just because, you know, you have some women sometimes who drink too much. And so we always make sure that it's a very public picture. You two are obviously strapping young married lads. What do you do when you're on the road? I mean, like everyone mocked Mike Pence, but everyone takes precautions. It just depends on what degree. Take the proper precautions is all. Sorry, that was a Home Alone reference. Okay, go ahead. Well, what do you do?
Well, when only time we really get into some, like,
why is your arm around me?
Because I need to stretch.
We're going to bring this back up and ask for $2 million a few years down the line, but continue.
Oh, 2.5. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Well, we have people to go with us, make sure we're okay. But, you know, you have to, you know, don't put yourself in harm's way. Like, you can find yourself in some very, very easy and some compromising positions during a meet and greet, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like Keith took a picture with this girl. He picked her up, right? We picked her up. And I swear to God, I didn't even notice until we saw the picture.
Yeah.
He had his hands on a booth.
Well, now, how'd you find out? Was that social media? Is that your wife calling you into the room? Kevin!
Then this hand right here was nothing but crotch.
You don't realize it.
You don't realize it, man.
I didn't even know it. My wife's like, Keith, what's this on? What is this all about?
At the meat grass, it's just a picture. She sends it to me. I was like, oh. I don't remember taking that picture.
So you have to be, like, real careful, man.
Yeah.
And like, some women, they're really straightforward. Like, they'll come up to you and just grab your...
Yeah, they grab your junk.
Yeah, I'm like, ah!
Stop it! No, it's funny. This is one thing a lot of people don't understand, too. Security, I'm sure. I know you guys you have to have security when you're there. But sometimes it happens also with fans. Like, a lot of people don't realize, sometimes you're walking and you get your finger jammed by a fan. I had a fan one time reach around, and he put his hand on my gun that I was carrying it, and he was like, oh, what's that? I was like, get the hell off me. He's like, why are you being a dick? I'm like, your hand is, you don't grab another man's gun and then make a joke about it and not take your hand off of his gun. I don't know you. Yeah. And the guy turned out to be a fan. So this wasn't even a woman, but sometimes, you know, people just don't know how to interact, and you don't want to leave them with a negative experience.
You run into that a lot. Especially. Like, some people come up to you, they'll shake your hand, they'll damn near break your damn hand.
Yeah.
Well, please. You damn near broke my hand.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when I hug a woman, like usually I give them hugs, they're happy to see you. I mean, it's professional, right? But a lot of times if I don't watch it, my watch, I wear this diesel watch, it always gets caught in the hair. So when they pull away, I'm like, yo, what?
The hand's still like, oh, my neck. I'm like, sorry about that. You mean,
good Lord.
I have to watch that.
When you said your watch, I was thinking London right away. I went to pickpocket, like, hey, nice to meet you. And it's gone, yeah? I'm going to go down and have some more oatmeal, some gruel, yeah? It's gone, your watch. Oh, no. I don't like the English.
A cup of tea? With milk.
Now, see, do you see what you just did there? You just did that with the British. It'd be like if someone said, you know, black person, watermelon, fried chicken. You just made a gross generalization, which is very offensive, highly unnecessary.
Incredibly statistically accurate, too.
But statistically very, very accurate. Yeah. I don't know how to argue with it. All right, I'm trying to think. Final question. Did you have anything you wanted to ask them there, Nakajir? I know we just had Ben, and now we have the Hodge twins. And...
You know, I'm out of questions for
now. Hey, tell Nakajir, how should he feel when he wanted to swallow a knife after bombing? Tell them you guys have, you know, everyone's gone through it.
Man, it happens, man. We was at, had these shows up in Providence, right?
It was one show. Oh, my God.
The first show, it was great.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, it didn't sell out, but it was an awesome crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? The next show was sold out.
Mm. Right.
You could hear a pin drop in that bit. Everybody's just looking at us like,
what did he just say?
Why would they come to see you that's one thing to me that's odd. It makes sense when you're starting out or like you're doing something for a friend. This is what happened. It was a corporate gig for a really great guy and he was a fan. So he was, you know, you find the connection with one person. But when people come out to see the Hodge twins, I mean, if they've seen this interview, they should know what they're in for. And this is positively mild by Hodge twin standards.
It was just one of those crowds, man. You get them every now and then. Like the next night was in Palm, what was that city in Florida?
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach. West Palm.
It was at the tip of the tongue. Palm? Is it the most likely answer in Palm Beach, the most known city on the coast?
You got it. When that happens, you got to forget all about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily you. It's more them than
and
you.
And comedy is so subjective. One crowd might be a great crowd. You do the same exact act in front of another crowd, and you just bomb, and people say you're a loser. But you can't really get caught up in that. You just gotta.
Somebody else that was, you know, same type of humor as we got, which is sick and, you know, depraved, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
He would have went in there and bombed. It's just like it was that crowd. It wasn't too keen on what he was doing on stage.
Final question. Go ahead.
I have I was going to do a segue into something else, but it's not my show.
No. Well, listen, we just don't have a ton of time. So go ahead.
I didn't know about London. Like, when we was out there in London, we did a podcast, and this guy was telling me how a guy got shot out there. I was like, I thought guns were banned out there. He's like, yeah, they are. And then I started reading up about that murder rate, right? And it just passed New York, right?
Yeah.
I was like, but they banned guns. So now the mayor came out and said, you know what? We need to ban knives. Yeah. Everybody's getting stabbed out here.
Everybody in the food court is a serial felon.
People are going to start getting stabbed to death with forks. You're going to ban knives.
You're going to ban forks.
And then people are going to start making shakes out of screwdrivers and branches. Man, we got to ban trees now.
And then it ends up like prison. You positively cannot find a sharp, pointy object in prison to shiv somebody with. Last question before we go, Hodge Twins, it's HodgeTwinsTour.com. Have you noticed it change since, I don't want to say you've come out of, but you know, conservatives have embraced you, even though you're not necessarily conservative, but because you've been on this show and you talked about being a fan of Ben Shapiro, have you noticed the audience change a little bit where people are more relaxed, they're okay, less likely to be offended, they're coming out to have a good time?
I just have less black fans now. We just weeded out of some colors, folks.
Won't be seeing the Hodge Twins at the Apollo anytime soon, I'm guessing.
But you know what? All the white people, I mean, all the black people that come with us, a majority of the black guys, they were white women.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of coons come see coons.
And now you've just lost all your black female fans because they are not happy when black men with white women. Gosh, that's one thing I will say. My white privilege, and we had a black fan come up and talk about this, that the white privilege you have is not being forced to identify with a political world. You are being expected to act a certain way. He said, for example, I'm black. I'm expected to act this way. He's like, that's what I see. And truth be told, I have never really known anyone who would be mad if I dated a black woman, but it's kind of a rule common in the black. So that, you know, check my privilege.
Check it. Check it. Check the door.
Just for you guys.
I think that white privilege died a long time ago. Like about 20 years ago. Look at Bill Cosby. How else can a black man get away from white privilege? White privilege? Are you kidding me?
Do you think?
I've been doing this for like 30 years? I think I'm one of the biggest serial rapists in the world. Black dude. And he's black.
Do you think he always raped?
That's a good sign, man. The world has changed. That's the kind of world I want to live in. I want to live in a world where a black man can rape women for 30 years. What? And get away with it.
I have a dream today that Bill Cosby. Let me ask you this. Do you think, I always wondered this, do you think he was raping consistently and then after the OJ trial just turned it up a notch? He just thought, like, well, I'm going to get away with it.
I think a majority of women knew what they was in, they're getting involved in because. I mean, 5 women, 10 women, okay, I give you 10 women, but 10 women not to say anything to anybody else in Hollywood? Because everybody, Hollywood knows everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody talks in Hollywood. You pretty much know why you're going now. You're trying to get in good with them so you can get a role, become this famous star.
Yeah.
He's going to put something in my dream.
No. I think they just wanted to play doctor with Dr. Huxtable. Everyone dreamed of that. I don't know. I just think you had a very different upbringing. Okay, it is HodgeTwinsTour.com. To the 4 black people watching out there, go out and see their tour. They need some salt and pepper in their audience. Hodge Twins, Keith, thank you very much. We'll wrap this up.
There it is again, so strong.
Now available at LottoWoodCrowderShop.com are genuine, authentic Ranger panties. The softest, lightest Ranger panties available with a built-in silk soft support liner. These LottoWoodCrowder Ranger panties feel like teabagging an angel itself.
Doing things like yard work. Or tending the garden.
They keep me cool when training, like doing pull-ups.
Or dead hangs.
These Ranger panties are so convenient, supportive, and comfortable, they can be used for almost anything.
Like watching TV.
Doing the laundry.
Laying in front of the fireplace, like Brad Reynolds, TP.
Or for covering up at those important meetings.
For supporting America.
Canada.
Ranger panties!
Buy yours today at LouderWithCrowderShop.com. Louder with Crowder Ranger Panties. because the freedom of the Republic is at stake, right between your thighs.
Dance only because people get mad if we don't do it, and I don't know why I hold my breath. I thought I found the secret. Mm. I thought I was swimming really well.
Uh-huh.
I thought the secret was cupping. Don't let the water go through your fingers. The current was still too strong.
Current, sometimes it'll just whip you around.
That was like when I had a, I used to spend my summers, if people go back and listen to the old radio days, I used to spend my summers at the public pool. I've talked about this, and I was a pretty good swimmer, and I would race kids, and I pretty much always won till I raced a kid, ironically enough, a black guy. Why is that ironic? You know why?
In the water?
Justin Nagoli.
In the water?
He blew me away.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd get one over on him.
I remember these kids.
They were all really athletic kids. Nagoli brothers. I wonder if one of them. Someone's gonna go tell them now. But Justin Nagoli just smoked me. I was like, I don't even think I'd gotten to the other end of the pool. It was demoralizing, and then I quit. That's the moral of the story. No, we were just talking about this with we talked about it earlier for those who are Mug Club members, and we kind of touched on it with the Hodge twins. So first off, let me preface this because this gig that we did with a guy who's a fan of the show, great guy. This company, I haven't done any kind of like a corporate stand-up engagement in, gosh, at least 4 years.
I've known you.
No, I've just stopped doing them, unless it's a good friend. There's a guy named Mark Madsen who I did it before, and then. This Dean Cain was out there, was good friends. We said, okay, you know, we'll go out because it's Dean Cain. If Dean Cain says, hey, you should go out, and the guy was really nice, we went out. Now, here's the deal. So I say that to say the company is great, the people were great, but it was not set up for stand-up.
Yeah.
It was just people were doing the casino games alongside the walls.
The rules of and, comedy, they broke all of them.
Yeah. Well, you were asked to go out and tell them to stop playing casinos, and if looks could kill, they just looked.
Like, can I please get a few more eyes on me while I bomb?
Because it's closed. So it's not like we can advertise it or bring our fans in. So whoever's there is whoever you get.
Yeah.
And that's kind of new for you because since you've been show, you've been used to kind of fans coming in.
Yeah.
And obviously,
it's always friendly audience.
Yeah. Generally speaking,
luxury of. Not dealing with
that. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but you know.
I was awful.
It was the first time.
Yeah, bombed. Hard.
How did you feel while you were up there?
You know, the first few minutes, it's like, man, just kill me now. Like, how do I get off this? How to stay there?
It's like Tom Hanks in Punchline. Somebody help me!
Yeah, and then there's a turning point. There was a turning point for me where I'm like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go for it. You're like, whoever's listening, there's people laughing their ass off. I'm talking for them now.
The owner of the company. He was just having such a good time. And the truth
is rolling.
You know, all the fans. Here's the thing. It's a room that could probably seat thousands.
Yeah.
So there were quite a few people up who moved up front who want. But the thing is, you're in this giant room, so you can't even hear them.
No.
Because you can't hear anything.
I couldn't hear myself.
No, it was really hard. Yeah. So it's just, the reason I ask you is, but yeah, you did. Because I did too. Certainly first that poorly in a while. And, you know, here's the thing. I want to make sure that when I say this, because I said this before, I said, you know, I gained a lot of respect. I don't think I've ever been more proud of you. It's not that I want Jared to bomb. If I could choose, I want Jared to do really well. But what it was what you just touched on. I could see that you were like, just get me off. But you finished your time. And you did it anyway. Did you at least after that feel like, hey, I did my time?
I did. I feel like I've paid all my dues at this point.
No.
There's none left to pay.
Now, picture doing that 4 times a week. For half a decade.
Twice a night. No. I think it was a learning lesson for sure. It was,
Well, I think, you know, that's one thing. You learn a lot when you go through those kinds of moments. You're like, okay, this is tough. But that also, on the contrary, I think one thing we kind of talked about this week, too, because this man who owns the company is unbelievably successful, and he was there, and he had his lovely lady there, and Dean Cain, obviously, is Dean Cain. A man and woman. So if I say man, by the way, for people listening, we have a lot of lady listeners. It's just I'm kind of speaking in the first person. A man is never really measured until he's been successful. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. And that's one thing that I think, you know, you have the Bernie Sanders and people telling business owners how they should be handling their money. A man isn't measured until he's had success. Because with success, and we were talking about this with Dean Cain, like, because ladies were just throwing themselves at Dean Cain.
So were half the men. I was in that line.
Yourself included. with success, you know, you get temptation, you get praise. I mean, we've seen it with this show. We've had people come in. I've had people, for example, you've had some success. A lot of people in the show, we've had people come in and deal with it really well. And we've had people come in and we've had people not handle it that well.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people get really quickly, surprisingly, let it go to their head, and we've had problems. I've watched people become successful or even, you know, whatever even piece of notoriety that they felt they've had, I've watched people react very differently. At that point, once you've had serious success, that's where all of the options open. And that's what becomes a choice. So same thing, you've had success, and I think you were measured there because as someone who has always been pretty successful because this show has allowed you an audience mm-hmm. who's there is friendly, you were tested the mm-hmm. first time because it wasn't going the way. And by the way, funny material, I know it works because I've heard you do it before and it's funny.
Yeah.
It was just a situation. But you wouldn't really be tested if you hadn't been successful before that. It would just be another day.
Oh, yeah, a really bad day.
it would have been another bad day, but you wouldn't know.
No.
And it's, you know, it's one thing, I guess it's easy to be humble when you have nothing to brag about. You know, it's easy to not care about bombing if that's all you've done.
Nothing on the line.
You know what I mean? It's easy, and we've had a lot, I remember I always go back to this story, a guy at our church who said, you know, I think a millionaire only thinks about where his next million is going to come from. He preached this sermon and then passed the offering plate afterwards to go do his missionary work. They're sitting there going,
praying to God there's a few millionaires in that congregation.
Right, exactly. And everyone going, you pompous ass, because you haven't made money. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about any facet. We'll get to that in a second. But because you haven't made money, you get to tell someone what their heart is because they have money.
Mm.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's the thing. There are plenty of wealthy people out there who do a lot of, we know what they would do with their money.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what you would do with your money, Mr. Millionaires only care about their next million? We don't know. Maybe you'd be a great person. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'd be a horrible person. It just amplifies character.
Yeah.
We can't know because you've never been measured. You haven't had that yardstick. We haven't seen what you do when you have the options available to you. That was one thing. Listen, this is why I'm terrified of success. It's been something that I've been struggling with, genuinely terrified, because there's nothing more corrosive to the human soul. And it's not because success itself is something you don't want, but because with success, you obviously know there's so much potential for failure. And not only failure, but just completely squandering any success that you have. And particularly when we get emails like we talked about last week, the Saudi Arabian guy, so you add this other layer to it where we have people who actually care. They feel like they let us into their lives. Success is a terrifying proposition to anyone who's had any of it before. If you have a little bit of success, what do you think? When you're thinking about, oh man, if I make it to that next level, it scares you. You know, take an example. People out there, I'm trying to think of a way that it could be compared. Okay, anyone out there listening, yourself included, think of something you're good at. Think of one thing in your life that you're good at. And this is another thing. Everyone out there, and I get emails a lot, you know, what should I do? How did you? Everyone out there is good at something. As a matter of fact, I would go as far as to say everyone out there is excellent at one thing. Now, if you say I'm not, that's a whole different problem. That means you haven't even been swinging the bat. You haven't even been trying. But everyone out there is excellent at one thing. So I want you to think right now, okay? Think of the one thing you're excellent at. You don't need to tell me, but you probably have something in your head. It's okay. Be honest with yourself here. You don't need to go out and shout it from the rooftops. Think in your head, what are you excellent at? If you had to pick one thing. Okay. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, think of someone else who does that same thing. It could be basketball. It could be business. It could be comedy. It could be mathematics. Something you're excellent at. Think of someone else who you know who isn't. Okay? So you're both doing the same thing. You don't live in the same world. It's two different worlds, two entirely different worlds, because, you know, if you were excellent, anyone out there, for whatever you're thinking of, if you're excellent in that one, even if it's this tiny little compartmentalized section of life, you know what it took and you know how you were tested to get there. You know with that success, the options that you had, the outs that you had. My friend Chael talks about this. People say failure is not an option. Failure is always an option.
Yeah. It's always on the table.
He said failure. It's
never off the table.
It's the most readily available option.
Yeah.
And by the way, something he hasn't talked about, but it is the most often chosen option.
Mm.
A lot of times you will see people choose to fail because they are absolutely terrified of success. And we see this a lot. We see it with people who, I mean, just like Bernie Sanders telling a business owner what they should do. Here's a good example. And again, because if you're excellent at anything, you know at some point you were lured away to stay on track. People who say, Millionaire only thinks about his next million. Okay, statistically, if you look at business owners or people who are successful, people who are wealthy, let's look financially. And by the way, I'm not trying to be some kind of a life coach here, 25-year-old life improvement expert. You know, I'm not brilliant in any finance. I'm not that. This is not a self-help guru deal. Do your own thing. Do some push-ups and meditate. You know, that's about all I got for you. But think about for a second. I was just talking about something came to lure you off track. Mm-hmm. Is that what I was talking about?
Yeah.
Before I said life coach and push-ups?
I think so.
I don't remember what I was talking about.
Talk about, yeah.
Yeah. Now I got it. Business owners, people who are financially successful, if you look at it statistically, most of the, a majority of those people forewent a salary. They didn't take a salary. So many of them, almost every small business owner, as a matter of fact, I would wager, at least for several months. So when a lot of people go like, yeah, my boss, he's got that money, he's a dick, or the 1%. Mm-hmm. You go, hold on a second. We know what he did. We know that that person paid you and didn't pay themselves for 2 years. Now, what we don't know is, would you ever do the same? Or were you tempted by job security? Were you tempted by this illusion of not having the floor fall through for you? So you took security over taking the chance and failing, swinging at bat and batting, like we were talking about earlier, 400. You're still a great baseball player. That's what I love about baseball as far as, I hate the sport, but it really is analogous to life.
Oh, it's humbling, yeah.
That's one thing. We know what that person, that's one thing that a lot of, and I think a lot of people don't really understand. I saw that with this guy, this business owner who was very, very successful, and Dean Cain, mm-hmm. women throwing themselves at them. I'm going, gosh, do you have any idea of the temptation? That's one thing why I don't have a ton of respect for President Donald Trump in his personal life. I don't know about the Stormy Daniels thing, but guess what? People who've had temptations out there are not super impressed by someone who has wilted at all of them, cheated on all wives, all of them. Now, a lot of people go, like, what would you think you would do? Well, listen. There have been options. Now, someone who's never had the options, that's typically the person who has no scope on it. And they go, yeah, well, you know what? Who you would do the same thing. Well, we now know that you've never had the temptation, Mr. in the basement. I'll say this about my, you know, I won't brag on myself, but my wife is a pretty woman. Let's just say she's not your type, okay? Let's allow, because this is the YouTube comment section. You've got to be careful. She's not your type, but certainly by, I would say, objective measurement, she's an attractive woman, even if she, and she's my type. For me, she doesn't. She revs my engine. I'm into her, okay? I wrote about the abstinence thing, about not having sex until we were married, and that was true. I try to be honest, that was 100% true. That was the hardest thing I'd probably ever done in my life. No pun intended, but I get it. It's and good for you.
It's a good pun.
Why? Because the temptation is always there. The option is always there. So having that available tests you far more than never knowing. And I think it's a big thing that people are concerned about. And that's why we all love to see other people fall when we've never tried it. It could be guitar. It could be basketball. It could be business. It could be this show to whatever degree of success it has. It could be comedy. People love to watch someone else fail because they know that someone else is out there really giving it the old college try. And they're the ones being tested and not you from your comfortable seat. And so often this can happen. I get a lot of emails like, well, my family. Listen, those people can be your family members. Those people can be your friends. Those people can be Twitter bots. They can be people on, they can be on social media. People love to watch you fail. What you have to do is, if you're out there trying something and you feel as though you're being tested, that is what every single person who's been successful has gone through. Matter of fact, if you're not dealing with it, it means you're probably not living a life of significance. I'll even go as far as this. I've seen more people pulled back by churches and church groups than you'd probably be able to imagine. I've seen people who were brilliant musicians. I've seen people who had callings who said, yeah, but you know what, I'm going to do this because I'm going to be here at this church. And because it's a church, I'm going to go, well, that must be your calling. Sometimes it's not. Your calling is when you find what you're excellent at doing, do that and don't be afraid of it. Now, this isn't just a bumper sticker, never, ever, ever, ever quit. No, sometimes I'm not going to play in the NBA, so I quit. I started playing basketball when I was a kid. I realized it sucked. Justin Agoli, he taught me that one. Mm. Along with swimming, I realized I wasn't going to be a professional. So you quit there. But when you find what you're
excellent at. That doesn't surprise me at all.
It doesn't surprise you at all. When you find the thing that makes you excellent, you will be tested. And with success comes that measurement. People who aren't successful have never been tested. You cannot know the measure of a man until he's successful. And that's one thing we never talk about. We talk about just the down times, just the tough times that absolutely try somebody. And you learn a lot about them, like you. But the only reason that we learned a lot about you and not having the greatest show, I didn't either, I'm not taking a crap on Jared, is because I've seen you have a lot of success, because I know you're funny. And so you know what that feels like to be tested. You wouldn't have any context unless you were actually successful. So go, whatever it is, go out. You're afraid? Go out there. Be tested. That's the only way you're going to be successful. And if you're being tested, you know you're probably successful. We're on your way there. Did I just? All of that works. See you next week. It only takes